Before we start the scripture, I just wanted to share a few words. One of the lines in the gospel from Jesus is, he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Ask, search rather, and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." I had a semi-clever sermon today, based on that line entitled Knock, Knock, which is why that's what's in your bulletin. It was structured around a series of really stupid knock-knock jokes that would eventually connect to Jesus knocking on the doors of our hearts and inviting us out into God's world to help transform it. It was going to be a cute, non-threatening sermon designed to get you to make big 2016 pledges for Stewardship Sunday. And then Friday happened. Scrolling through the news online, I read aghast, as you did, about the news in Paris, and then Beirut, and Kenya, and Baghdad. We all witnessed an unbelievably well-choreographed, well-rehearsed, and executed dance of evil with bombs and bullets and suicide vests on three continents with hundreds and hundreds of deaths and injuries. A dance of evil carried out by people who claim to worship the same God we do. And once again, I am helplessly infuriated and flummoxed by the action of these people whose violent hatred of people different from themselves is somehow based on an understanding, a twisted, perverted understanding of the same God that we worship. So knock-knock jokes will not be okay today. We need some serious medicine from Scripture today for a sin-sick world. And the serious message and the serious medicine that we receive from both Isaiah's preaching and Luke's gospel is hope. Radical, unassailable, existential hope that love is greater than hatred and life is stronger than death, and that God will amazingly work in us and work through us, and work with us to redeem a shattered creation. So I invite you to listen for God's word in the prophet Isaiah and in the Gospel of Luke.
For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth. But the sinner, being 100 years, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw, like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Amen.
He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, as flawed as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
The words that Roger shared from the prophet Isaiah, those original words were not spoken in a vacuum. They were not originally put into a pristine blank Bible. They were written to people who hurt. The words of God through the prophet are to a people who were enchained in exile in a foreign land. Their nation was in ruins. Jerusalem was rubble. God's temple had been burnt. Babylon, the destroyer, Babylon who made its will known through violence and murder, this Babylon who hated all that was different from themselves, was the way of the world. Babylon was the world, and the world was Babylon, and their values of violence and hatred and pain ruled. Their terror ruled heaven and earth. To this helpless and hopeless people, God whispered, "Behold, I am about to do a new thing. I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. The bad old days will be forgotten. I will create Jerusalem as joy, your people my delight." And indeed, it came to pass. Babylon, the invincible, we know from history, was defeated by Persia. God's people, we know from history, were allowed to return to Judah and begin to rebuild the city and the temple and the nation. It was a new start, a clean slate, awesome stuff. But these words had a deeper meaning than just the historical realities that were fulfilled in the early 6th century BC. There are words for us as well. A new heaven and a new earth also point to a new reality, a new way for people to live and to be in relationship with each other and with creation. A vision of a time when war will not displace people from their homes and their land, where life will be full and fulfilling. Violence will not be the ruler of life. It's a vision much like what Jesus, 600 years later, would call the kingdom of God, which in the version of the Lord's Prayer that we share on Sundays is about a time when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. The realm of a God who wants for God's children all good gifts. A God who is like a loving parent. A God who is teacher, provider, lover. But we aren't there, as Friday reminds us. Joshua has told me a number of times of how his high school-age students, and these are the smartest kids in the school, describe the state of the world. Two words. It sucks. Our children are native Calvinists. In more sermony language, I'll say, the world is not as God intends. But usually I say with the kids, it sucks. It is fallen. It is broken. It is atomized and balkanized and brutalized. And it's not just ISIS or ISIL or whatever we call these people. It's every time that I treat another human being as an object, as something in my way, or something for me to use, or something there to serve me. When I do that, I break down the world a little bit. Every time I don't do something that could make someone's life a little more bearable, or more whole, or more loving, I break the world down a little bit. There's a little more Babylon. Add in 6 or 7 billion people as messed up as me. It can create a world that, well, sucks. This was the vision of Isaiah. He called the peaceable kingdom, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb and the suckling and the asp shall be together. I found a vision, or found another portrait that I think works well for me, and it's from a graffiti artist named Banksy, who has a habit of finding really, really ugly, messed up walls and putting a sign of hope on them. Because here's the thing. We are not just called to recoil in horror at what happened on Friday. And then on Monday, go back to life as usual. We have been called to partner with God in the redemption of a sucky world. We have been called to have a part to play in God's world. And like a mustard seed, it's small. When we learn how to disagree without walking away, when we learn how to pray for those we don't like, when we eat with the poor, bring justice to the marginalized, welcome the stranger, love the unlovable, bring good news to those who have never heard it. When I was in seminary, I was a live-in volunteer at a halfway house for mentally ill adults. That was how I was able to make enough money to have a roof over my head and pay for seminary. I've shared a story or two from that time and place. But there's one story I haven't shared. It's about a guy named Richard. Richard was brilliant. Richard had been a professor at Harvard University, right down the street from where we were. He was young and smart, and in his late 20s, developed schizophrenia. Late for that disease. So we were sitting inside watching the news on TV. And Richard is in his favorite chair, and he's chain-smoking cigarettes and looking really awful. And I look at the TV, and I see why he looks awful, because it's scenes from the Intifada, which was only a few months old at the time. Barb and I were actually in Israel when the thing began. And he says, "The world's awful." And I said, "Yeah. Look at the violence." "Yep." "Look at the mayhem." "Yes," I said. "Look at the chaos." "Yes," I said. "It's all my fault." "Oh, wait, no. Wait, no, not, no. It's all my fault. I caused this." Now, if we had done a serious Calvinist discussion, I could say he's actually right in a sense. But he was in a place in his mind where he actually thought he had personally caused the mayhem that was happening in Palestine. And everything that was wrong with the world was entirely his fault, because he was a horrible, horrible, horrible person. And so I brought him outside to the front porch of our little halfway house on a one-way street called Leonard Avenue. And I sat him down on the bench we had on the porch. And I just said, just sit here for a minute. And we looked at the leaves. We watched a mom walk by with a baby stroller. And a car or two went by. I said, "It's okay, Richard. Yes, there is bad stuff, but this is where you are right now. And it's good, and it's green, and it's life, and you are part of this." This is where and who you are. And it calmed him. And I felt pretty good about myself for a little while, but then I wondered, did I cheat? Did I lie to him? Because he was right. The world is filled with war and hatred and violence. And, oh my gosh, I am a part of it. And so is Richard. And so are you. And so am I. And you and me and us. And but later that night, as I helped another resident who had borderline personality disorder make a pretty dreadful but filling dinner, and later as we all ate together, and still later as we had our check-in time where we all went over our day and talked about our small victories and our sometimes bigger defeats and our affirmations of each other, and I thought, no, I wasn't cheating. I wasn't lying. This is a little bit of what the kingdom looks like. A house full of crazy people sharing meals, sharing pain, sharing selves and stories. It's what church is supposed to be. I could practically hear Jesus knocking on the door. I don't have an answer to the big why. Why did God create a world where there is radical hatred and evil? But I do know the antidote to it looks something like hope, and looks something like love, and looks something like gratitude, and looks something like doing good in the place you are. It looks like a place where wolves and lambs lie down together, and where we hold each other and we don't let each other fall, and where we don't let our anger and our hatred and our disgust project onto somebody else and hate them or be disgusted at them. We live like Jesus describes it in the reading today. And whenever Jesus talks about the kingdom, he talks about small things that grow to make a huge difference. The people of ISIS believe in what's called an apocalyptic theology, where through violence and disorder, they will bring about God's action to make everything better in the world. And we have apocalyptic Christians too. And they have TV shows. And they're like, if we bomb the Temple Mount, then there'll be a nuclear war and then Jesus will come. Islam does not have a monopoly on this horrible, horrible stuff. But the kingdom of God is not an apocalypse. Jesus said, it is like a mustard seed. So tiny, yet so full of potential to grow and grow and grow love and righteousness and peace. Look there, do you not perceive it? Jesus said. The kingdom is like yeast, just a pinch in a pile of flour, but look at it rise, look at it grow. The kingdom is like a pearl. Give everything away to purchase it. It's like a treasure buried in a field, hidden, but oh, the possibilities. It's like the child enter the kingdom like a child. Barb and I and Chloe, a few weeks ago, when we were in New York on a school trip, went to go see a new play by George Takei, You may know him as Sulu. He said, I'm a mature enough age now, when I see him on stage, I don't see Sulu, I see the character he was playing. The play is called Allegiance, and it is about, it's hard to think it's a musical, but it's a musical about the U.S. internment camps for Japanese Americans, where American citizens of Japanese descent were rounded up, their homes confiscated, their farms confiscated, and they were put into POW camps in the middle of Wyoming. George has a Facebook meme that he always puts out every day. And usually it's funny. Usually it points to some silly video or some fun poster. But he wrote this yesterday. I'm writing this backstage at Allegiance. My heart heavy with the news from Paris, aching for the victims and their families and friends. There no doubt will be those who look upon immigrants and refugees as the enemy as a result of these attacks. And several presidential candidates have already said that. Just as peaceful Japanese Americans were viewed as the enemy after Pearl Harbor. But we must resist the urge to categorize and dehumanize, for it is that very impulse that fueled the insanity and violence perpetuated this evening. Tonight, hold your loved ones and pray for peace, not only from guns and bombs, but from hatred and fear. If it is our freedom and joy they seek to destroy, give them not that victory. Against the forces of darkness and terror, love and compassion shall always prevail. I don't know if George Takei is a Christian, but he does know what the kingdom is like. So, I apologize about this being so disfigured and disorganized because I didn't have a lot of time to bake it longer. But this is going to sound a little Buddhist-y, but it's also more so a little Jesus-y, and those often go together quite well. But here's an observation I had last night. The hatreds and the angers and the vengeances that you and I hold and nurse are not qualitatively different from those of the perpetrators of Friday's horrors. All have sinned and fallen short of what God wills for us. Our hatred, our violence, our anger also brings about a Babylon in our lives and in our neighbors' lives and in the world. And in the same way, the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness that we nurture are mustard seeds for a new heaven and a new earth in our lives, in our neighbors' lives, and in the world. We have a part. And we make a difference in the world, even if it's a drop in an ocean, we make a difference in the world, and we have a choice to live as Babylon or to live as the kingdom. We have a part. And will we listen for the knock at the door that calls us to live like the kingdom? Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay, maybe one knock-knock joke. Okay, you ready? You know how this goes? Okay. Actually, you start out loud. Ready?
Knock, knock.
Who's there? You are there. You are here. And we are here. And together, God is working in us and through us and with us. And that is enough to change the world, to make it look a little more like the kingdom and a new heaven and a new earth right here. Amen.